pink milk at the Indy 500. What did the head milk lady, Jill Hooian, think of that? It's coming up in the news here on the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for this, the 4th day of June, 2021. Good Friday morning. I'm Eric Pfeiffer with the latest Indiana farm news, weather, and market analysis all on the way. Also coming up in the news, Indiana crops welcoming this hot weather that's on the way. And speaking of hot weather on the way, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has the hot, sunny forecast for you. And it was a day of losses for corn, soybeans, and wheat. Market analysis is on the way with Mike Silver from Kokomo Grain. The news starts right now here on HAT.
A double dip for milk at the 500, and how are the corn and soybean crops looking in Indiana? This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank reporting on agriculture, the news brought to you by Country Mark and its member cooperatives, who are your best source for quality biodiesel and ethanol-blended fuels. The 2021 Indy 500 was frequently referred to last Sunday as the largest spectator event since the start of the pandemic over a year ago. And indeed, it became a much more typical race experience. The fans were thrilled about that race. Racetrack officials and the media were thrilled. And so was the head milk lady, Jill Hooian, of Homestead Dairy in Plymouth, Indiana.
This year, having the opportunity to celebrate with so many people safely and knowing that Haleo had its fourth win and I got to be a part of it, and the dairy farmers that helped carry on that tradition, it was an amazing and humbling experience.
It was also a unique experience with a massive celebration by four-time winner Elio Castroneves, even before arriving at Victory Circle for the roses and bottle of milk. Hooian remained patient and knew he would get to the important post-race traditions.
I knew that he was excited for the milk, but I knew he was over the top excited to be celebrating with the fans, knowing that we're coming back to some normalcy. I think he was just so overly excited. I knew it was going to happen. I knew that moment where I got to experience that tradition of handing off the milk was going to happen. I waited patiently.
Then in Victory Circle, something else unique happened. A double dip of sorts for American Dairy Association Indiana. Elio came back for more milk, this time mixed with pink powder to mirror his winning car color scheme.
I applaud him for knowing how important the tradition of milk was and thinking ahead, wanting to win that trophy.
Check our website to hear more from the excited Indy 500 milk lady. In the first of our series of growing season reports with specialty hybrids, technical agronomist Tom Manny steps through the spring planting season. In Indiana, 94% of corn is planted and soybeans are 86% planted. Both planting and emergence are ahead of last year and the five-year average. Manny says it hasn't been a perfect spring,
which is unfortunate, but it should also leave growers with some optimism. A lot of the crop still looks good despite the temperature issues that we've had. It still looks very, very healthy. There's a bit of resiliency to the crop, which is great, and that's really something that you're going to see growing through our germplasm within specialty.
Forecasts are turning hot and dry, an important turn for crop development, although Manny would still like to see more moisture.
We are still below average in terms of rainfall, so we definitely need some soil moisture at this point. Heat-wise, at this point, we can't get enough. We need warm temperatures. We need these GDUs to help advance the crop and get it caught up to where it really should be. By this point, especially considering as long as some of this crop has been in the ground. So we're looking at 2 months in some areas, and this corn is V5, V6, and that's just a subject to the lack of heat that we've had over the past 2 months. So it really needs to be moving along faster than it is.
But 90-degree weather coming could get crops off to the races. Manny says silver leaf symptom is appearing in corn due to the clear, calm, and cool nights this spring. And he says be looking for seedling blights that could cause some stunted growth. More at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank. Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the largest Ohio-based independent seed company and the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for more information. So we have dry, sunny weather in here today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Temperatures ramping up. We're going to be above normal, very warm across the region as we move through those days. Monday, I think, turns out partly sunny and warm as well. Clouds will be building, especially over the southern half of the state. Overnight, Monday night into Tuesday, the pattern changes. We get rather unsettled for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Do I think that we are cloudy with rain all day? No. What I think we see developing here is heat-based instability, which means I'm going to be putting scattered afternoon and evening showers and thunderstorms in the forecast every day, Tuesday through at least Friday. Do I think we see rain all day? Like I said, no. Now, there's a better chance for rain lingering through more of the day for Thursday and Friday, so I won't completely rule that out. But my focal point right now is going to be pop-up heat-based instability. I don't think we're looking at any more than maybe 3 or 4 tenths each day. I don't think we're looking at coverage any more than about 60%, especially for Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. We might push that to 80 or 90% Thursday, Friday. And then when you back out and take the 5,000-foot view, look at the four-day period combined, Tuesday through Friday. I think we're still probably looking at probably a quarter to half an inch at least on the low end, and maybe an inch or more on the top end. The wild card will be how much of the precipitation comes as thunderstorm action and how much is just regular scattered showers. In any case, this pattern seems to wind down next Sunday, the 12th. I do believe we look at a sunny and warm period there and then continue to see a mix of clouds and sunshine into Sunday, the 13th. There's a frontal boundary building back off to the west that I think passes through the eastern Corn Belt likely Monday, the 14th, so we'll keep a few scattered showers in the back of our mind for that there. But then the rest of the next week, the week of that 14th, I think we're probably looking at a pretty warm and humid scenario. We're seeing some very significant heat building over the central part of the country. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Double-digit losses for corn, soybeans, and wheat. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is the Thursday Farm Market Review, brought to you by CoAlliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. We'll have final numbers on the way in just a few moments, but first, market analysis with Mike Silver from Kokomo Grain. And Mike, things looked promising early on today with corn up, soybeans up double digits, but things turned around pretty quickly. What happened?
They did, Eric. Several things in play today. Number one, there was not a lot of fresh news today from the demand side or the supply side, really. The dollar index, quite strong today, up 0.624 today, and that probably had as much negative impact on the market as anything. It was a strength in the U.S. dollar today. Of course, we had the USDA reports are all delayed a day this week because of the Memorial Day holiday. The EIA report from the Energy Administration did come out today, and we got our ethanol numbers, and they were good. Average daily production was up 23,000 barrels a day at 1.034 million barrels. And the ethanol stocks, we had a 600,000 barrel increase in ethanol stocks at 19.6 million barrels. And we did grind more corn last week for ethanol than we did the previous week, up 2.32 million bushels. So we ground 104.47 million bushels of corn into ethanol last week, and ethanol margins remain good. And the basis levels at the ethanol plants still remain strong. Now, in the soybeans today, we had some weakness in the soybean oil. We were down 153 points today. Soybean meal was down $2.40 a ton. And that weakness from the strength we had yesterday, especially in the oil, pulled the soybeans down, lacking any fresh demand news. Export sales will not come out until tomorrow morning, again, delayed because of the Memorial Day holiday. And expectations going into the report tomorrow are that we'll see some net cancellations in both the corn and soybeans for the 2021 year. And we'll see some estimates here. I'm going to call them modest at this point, lacking any flash sales in the daily export reporting system over the last week. Probably see some modest export sales, but we'll see what that report says tomorrow morning as we get the weekly export sales numbers. The The weather is very much in play, Eric, as I think everyone is aware. We've got some higher temperatures forecast for the majority of, especially the northwestern Corn Belt, but also here in the Midwest and the eastern Corn Belt and in the Ohio Valley, with limited rainfall. Now, in the midday weather updates, forecast updates, there were some modest changes in precipitation forecast, but generally speaking, it's going to be on the hotter side and the drier side for the next 7 to 10 days across most of the Corn Belt. Now, we know that rainfall during the month of April and May were falling short, really, of what we would expect for this time of the year, but certainly based on our planting progress numbers that came out Tuesday, we're ahead of the five-year pace in corn planting in the U.S. We're ahead of the five-year pace in soybean planting. And the good to excellent category in the crop condition report for corn was better than the five-year average. And we should next week probably start to see some condition reports for the soybeans, but there was no condition reported for soybeans today. But at least anecdotally in conversations across the country and here in Indiana, our crops are in the ground and we're getting the kind of weather that we need to get good emergence and good development. And we'll just keep our fingers crossed here that we can retrace to the upside a little bit more here than we've been able to do in recent sessions, Eric. I have set up a spreadsheet that I'm keeping track of the session trading range since we expanded our daily trading limits. And I'm also tracking where we stand in terms of where the current close is versus our contract highs that we made in early May. And I'll give a little update there right now. July corn, we had a 32.25 cent trading range from high to low today. The Dease corn, we had a 24.5 cent range. In the July soybeans, we had a 45.5 cent range. And in the November soybeans, we had a 41 cent range. And that's from the high trade to low trade of the session. On where we stand versus our contract highs that we posted in early May, we're 73.25 cents off of the contract high in July corn. We're 71.5 cents off the contract high in December corn. July soybeans were $1.18 and a quarter off the contract high, and November beans were 57.5 cents off the contract high. Basis levels for corn remain still pretty steady. There's been very little change in corn basis levels since we last talked last week. Soybeans, a different story. The soybean basis, as we now have processors with their cash bids versus the July, the August, and the November. And in the process of those processors rolling those bids to the deferred inverted futures price references, we've seen the decline as much as 30 cents a bushel in the net basis. Depending on what processor bids you might be monitoring, we're against the July, some are against the August, and some against the November. So when calculating equivalency of basis levels, you need to take a look at that spread between where the July is and the August and November, and then adjust the basis reference to keep track of where we really stand on a comparative basis. The raw numbers, when you base the reference against the inverted August and November, they look really strong numbers, and they are really strong numbers. But you have to keep in mind that compared to the July, those big numbers, we have lost some basis value over the course of the last week, and actually for about the last 3 weeks. But still, from a historical standpoint, basis levels are very good, corn and soybeans. We need to continue to monitor the weather, and I expect there will be continued volatility in the weather. You tell me what you'd like to see forecast, and I can find you a forecaster that can support whatever thought process you have, Eric. And I think the key right now, as I've mentioned now many, many times, Price forecasting in this kind of an environment is a tricky business. It's awfully hard to do. Risk management, lesser tricky. And by that, I mean, I encourage producers to take a look at their position, implement some marketing strategies that revolve around good risk management, lock in some downside protection, keep the upside open. As we keep our fingers crossed and pray for a really productive, good crop cycle this growing season, Eric, because not only does the U.S. need good crops, the world needs the U.S. to produce good crops. And for that matter, every crop producing country in the world needs to produce good crops. A week from today, we do get the June WASDE report, the World Outlook Board report. We'll get balance sheet updates for the U.S. and for the world. And the big question mark remains today, how much will USDA lower Brazilian corn production based on the severe reductions that we're seeing in the private forecast for the Safrinha corn crop and the overall Brazilian corn crop for this growing season. So the next official update we'll get, as I say, is next Thursday from the WASDE. So we'll continue to monitor weather, watch our positions, look for opportunity, and take advantage of what we hope is a good growing season, Eric.
That's Mike Silver from Kokomo Grain. You can reach Mike at 800-666-0613. We've got final numbers on the way next.
In your business, you move dirt, build roads, grow crops, deliver products, and you deserve our very best. Premium Diesel X4 on and off-road diesel fuel only from Country Mark. No other fuel brings more to the job. High cetane for better engine performance, more lubricity, detergency to keep fuel injectors clean, and stabilizers for longer fuel life. Ask your Country Mark branded dealer for the fuel that works as hard as you do. Premium Diesel X4.
It was double-digit losses for corn, soybeans, and wheat, down 13 on July corn to 662. Dease corn down 6 1/4 to 566 1/2. July soybeans down 13 and a quarter to 1549 1/4. Novi beans down 10 and a quarter to 1403 1/2. And Chicago July wheat down 11 and a quarter to 676 1/4. That's the Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.